Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. Very pleased to be joined via Zoom by some very important members of the Perth and District Community Foundation. We have got Greg Anderson. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you, Bob.
Richard Schooley. Welcome, Richard.
Thanks, Bob.
And Howard Allen. Howard, good to see you.
Nice to see you too, Bob.
We're going to talk a little bit about the history of the foundation, how it came to be and how it's grown. And then, of course, there is a special anniversary coming up that we want to talk about as well. But these gentlemen here are three of the founders of the Perth and District Community Foundation. Let's talk first about how it all came to be. Greg, maybe you can start us off.
Okay. I was sitting in my office and I had a call from Bryce Bell. Bryce became a good friend and he was one of the founders and recently died. Very sad. Bryce called me, asked me if I knew anything about the community foundation. What had happened was I had a friend in Ottawa at a large law firm, and he had me into the Ottawa Foundation meetings, and it struck me at that time that Perth could use something like that. So I had been involved in the Rotary Club, and I had clients who wanted to do something for the town of Perth, and the community foundation would have been a perfect vehicle. So I called the national office and said, how do we get started? They said, well, we'll send you a box of all the materials you'll need. So they sent me the box, and the box sat on the floor in my office for 6 months, a year, till I got the call from Bryce. And Bryce, my recollection is, Bryce had been doing consulting work with AMIA, and AMIA was wanting to make a donation and asked Bryce to look into whether there's a community foundation. And Bryce called the national office and they said, no, but we sent a box to a guy named Anderson and we haven't heard back. So Bryce was the incentive to say, well, we've got money coming. People want to donate. I have a client. So as a result of that call, Bryce and I got together and we said, who do we know that we can rope into helping? And that resulted in Richard and Howard and Gavin Marshall, Fred Ladley, Wanda McKinnon. Having a first meeting originally in the Perth restaurant, but it was at 7 in the morning and it was closed. So we walked down to Peter's restaurant and we had that first meeting and everybody volunteered to help. And that was December 2000. And I guess it took us a year or two by the time we were incorporated and had it off the ground.
That's fantastic. And Richard, you were smiling a lot and laughing a lot through it. Obviously, some very pleasant memories that is bringing back for you. And this has to be something that you just thoroughly enjoyed doing, and especially with the people you were doing it with.
Yeah, the very fact that we had our founding meeting on Gore Street as opposed to a venue was appropriate. But it took off from there. I can remember Greg's initial ambition as we sat down that morning. He said, my ambition is to get this thing to $1 million. And, I was looking at the financial statements the end of last year, and it's five times that. I think the idea was totally appropriate at the time and has proven to be very worthwhile as this thing has gone forward.
Absolutely. I was going to say, you wanted to hit a million. Well, you made it and then some. Now, Howard, we were talking about a couple of individuals before we came to air, Greg and Bryce, who are no longer with us, and Bryce Bell recently passing. Maybe if you could just talk a little bit about these individuals and the contribution that they made to the organization and really the legacy they leave behind.
Well, when the Community Foundation was founded, we kind of made it so it just wasn't Perth by itself, but it was kind of the west half of Lanark County. We wanted to take into account, the townships, Lanark Highlands, that whole area. And Fred Ladley actually was the the chair, the former chair of Extendicare, a very large company. And Fred lived in Fallbrook, and he had been involved in many community items. He had helped people in the local community. He had given freely to charities. Fred was a wonderful man, and he was very community-minded. And so he was anxious to get on board and help out and use his contacts to assist us. And as you know, Bryce, at that time, he and Margot lived in Tay Valley Township. And Bryce was a very special person. He actually became one of the chief executive officers of the foundation after we got it going. And Bryce had a very special personality. I guess I would tell you a little story that sort of exemplifies this. I remember he and I were doing municipal consulting. I had a lot of contacts with municipalities, and often people would leave money to municipalities, but people were beginning to maybe not to question that, whether that was a great idea, because they didn't know if the government was just going to take that money and spend it, or whether they were going to reduce their grants to communities. And so people were looking for other alternatives. But anyways, we were doing a consulting job in Armprior, and we were trying to talk to them about, you know, sharing recreational costs on a broader base community as opposed to just in the town of Armprior itself. And we were also talking about development charges. We had never been there before. We didn't know these people. We went down, we were on closed circuit TV. And I made the mistake that day of wearing a new sports jacket that was yellow. Bryce says to me when we introduce ourselves, Bryce, he was handling all the political end of things. I was sort of doing finance. So Bryce introduces himself and says, and I'd like to introduce you to my pet canary that I brought along with us today. So that's just typical Bryce. He had a wonderful sense of humor, and he was a joy to be with, an artist, a businessman. I remember him telling me once that he had made a living, I think, 65 different ways. And you could believe it when you met Bryce.
He ran for the one party in one election, right?
Yeah, he ran for the PCs.
Sub nomination.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't get to me. Because I kept telling Bryce over the years, you know, I really enjoyed him. He had such an eccentric sense of humor. And it was such a treat working with him. And I kept saying to him, Bryce, if I'd known you when you were running for office, I would have voted for you.
That's awesome. And it's really nice just to see the smiles on your faces as you talk about it, Bryce, and you talk about these stories from the formation. Let's talk a little bit about growth, though, because we've seen it grow, the foundation, over the years. And maybe, Richard, maybe you could talk a little bit about that. And has this sort of exceeded expectations?
Personally, I think that it has. I'm not the least bit disappointed that it has. But I think the reason, one of the contributing reasons to it, is that our community is becoming far more secular than it was 50, 60 years ago. And I think that we've needed a vehicle within the community, with the foundation fills just perfectly, a vehicle that we can focus legacy funds to the community well-being, our collective well-being. And that the Perth Community Foundation is perfect for that. The idea that funds, again, within the community foundation can be directed to specific causes or needs or ambitions also helps. And I think that in a secular society, community foundations are the perfect tool for us to achieve collective well-being. As Howard also mentioned, you know, it's the Perth and District Community Foundation. And whether we acknowledge it or not, you know, the four municipalities that are part of West Lanark, we do an awful lot of things together, everything from hospitals to lawyers, accountants, recreation, et cetera. And so the Community Foundation, again, perfectly complements the reality of our community.
Howard, talk to us a little bit about how the foundation works. It is as Richard just said, people can direct where their funds are going. This people have to realize too, that this is money that stays in the community. It is often people will set it up to make annual donations. There are people who continually donate to this organization because they see that the good that is being done. So tell us a little bit, if you could, Howard, how it works.
Well, people are free to make donations. There can be donor advised funds. So you could have funds in there where you can give some advice to the board. The board has the ultimate say, but you can actually, on your donations that are given to the foundation, you can use direct those funds for whatever use that you want to support. And the one thing I like about the foundation is that, for example, when Dr. Gordon Jackson died a few years ago, he'd actually spent a lot of time in Ethiopia helping impoverished individuals and people. He worked hard in those communities. And when he passed away, there was an endowment fund that was established, and it was for the purpose of international aid and international donations that could be given to other charities. The foundation works to support other charities, not just itself. It's not just our community, but we can look outside the town of Perth. I think the town was certainly involved when some Syrian families came to Perth a number of years ago. And so people are free to make donations. It's a registered charitable donation. It's tax deductible. And if they want to get involved and be on the board, or there'll be lots of opportunities for that, I'm sure. But the funds are distributed based on a granting process that happens once a year. So once a year, people can apply for grants to the foundation, and the foundation distributes those monies to the various groups that are looking for it. So I think it's a great opportunity. There are a lot of bequests and wills. Some of our clients, I know Greg, a number of Greg's clients and my clients have left money to the foundation in their wills. Also people to make annual donations, like you say. I noticed, for example, our friend Bryce that has passed away. You know, they say in lieu of flowers, please send donation to the Perth Community Foundation. So there are many ways which people can contribute. And it just doesn't have to be financial. I mean, we're looking for support from people that are willing to devote time and energy to the needs and of the foundation.
Greg, maybe you can talk about the importance of local here, because people often will make donations to local organizations like the hospitals, you know, or it could be a youth group or whatever. But there's other people who don't necessarily know exactly where they want their money to go, but they know that they want it to stay in their community. That's a really good fit for the foundation, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. What happens is very often you have a client who wants to benefit the community, but doesn't know the particular charity that may be involved at the time. You know, for example, animal welfare. We have laws in Lanark County, Lanark Animal Welfare Society, but it used to be the Ontario Humane Society, Lanark County, and it changed its name and became something different in the 70s or 80s. So what clients can do is they can leave a fund in the community foundation and then leave guidelines for the foundation to apply the grants to an organization that benefits animal welfare or benefits this cause or that cause. So in 10 or 20 years time, when the time comes, you know, the directors of the foundation can pick the charity that best implements that client's wishes. So that works really well. The other thing that's really a selling point, I think, is it runs endowment funds. So everybody can basically become a little Rockefeller and have their own endowment fund. It's an easy way to set up a permanent fund. So the $5 million that's invested now is really an endowment. It basically won't be touched. The interest and income that it earns is paid out in grants. So now we're getting 5%, 10% a year on $5 million. So that creates the, you know, the $100,000, $200,000 a year that goes out. But the $5 million stays in trust for perpetuity, really. You know, it's a wonderful concept.
Absolutely it is. And really, I love the idea too, that someone can come to you and say, I don't know where I want this money to go, but I want it to go to help healthcare. And then there may be a specific need that changes, you know, year after year, where it can do that. You could
sure, the way it works is the hospital, you know, can be a donee from the foundation. So if the hospital is going through an expansion or a new equipment drive, you know, the foundation can make a grant to the hospital to assist.
And that's incredible. And Richard, you were nodding your head quite a bit there. That's obviously a concept that you really enjoy too, and you think it's of great benefit to the people who are donating.
Yeah, the car, our community, our relocation of refugees, the car ambition that we had as a community. Again, the foundation was what enabled that. There was a group of people that came together concerned about the Syrian refugee situation. And yet we weren't incorporated. They weren't a legal charity. They went to the foundation and said, here's what we want to do. $100,000 was donated in 6 to 8 weeks. And the foundation was the enabler. That was the corporate entity that allowed it all to happen, and the credibility to be supporting this local group with this initiative. And I think this is a great tool for the community.
Now, we just have a couple of minutes left here. So Howard, maybe you can tell us about the anniversary. There's a special event coming up. I know we're going to talk about it more as it gets closer. So broad strokes, sir, if you would.
Well, I can't give you a lot of details on what's going to take place. I haven't been on the board, but I can say it's the 20th year. It's hard to believe that this is the 20th anniversary of the foundation, and it's growing. I think it'll be a fantastic event that people can support, but honestly, I don't know the details. Maybe you do, Greg.
No, I wasn't invited either, Howard. It reminds me 20 years ago, we had what I called the launch lunch, and we put on a big fancy lunch at Coates Mill. Howard called up some of his clients and raised the money to finance the lunch. And we had the MP come down. What was his name from Ottawa? Sterling. The
Norm
lawyer
Sterling.
Norm Sterling, the lawyer from Gowling's, who helped us set it up. And at that time, we ran a raffle. I don't know what your memory is like, but there was a jar at the front desk, and everyone was to put in their business card and put a date down for the date that we would have the first million in the bank. Okay. Now, fast forward, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years till we had the million. Nobody can find the jar with the tickets, so we haven't awarded that prize.
I think that's great. And seeing as how, unfortunately, the three of you weren't invited to this event, I do have the information in front of me. So you may want to grab some pens and paper here. But the 20th anniversary celebration will be taking place on Sunday, September 11th. Again, we're going to be talking about this as it gets closer as well. It's going to be an afternoon of music, refreshments. It will also celebrate PDCF volunteers, people like yourselves, gentlemen, by proxy, apparently, over the course of the afternoon, celebrating the two decades of work that have been done and the successes. So again, we'll talk about that as we get a little bit closer to it. But guys, I really want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. Obviously, it's something that you were very passionate about, and you can tell the pride that comes with it. And really, it's all about helping people. Richard, maybe I'll give you the last word here just to sort of sum up how founders feel looking and seeing how far this has come along.
Oh, I'm tremendously proud of what's been accomplished. And as a founder, I haven't been on the board for probably 15 years. And I'm just amazed at the quality of people that continue to come to the board to offer guidance to the foundation. And it speaks very well for our community. We're a community of vast interests, diverse interests, and it's amazing that the experience and knowledge there's in the community, and it continues to come forward to help this community in the form of the foundation. So really pleased with where we've gotten to.
Excellent. Well, again, gentlemen, thank you so much for being here today. Very much appreciated. Anyone who would like to know more can just go to pdcf.ca, and you're going to find out all sorts of wonderful information, including how you can get involved as well. So once again, Greg Anderson, Richard Schooley, Howard Allen, three of the founders of the Perth and District Community Foundation. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. We're going to take a look at tomorrow when we'll be talking to, we're talking Pride. Yes, we've got a great group telling you what you can expect from the annual Pride celebration in our communities. I'm Bob Perot. Thanks for being with us. Have a wonderful afternoon.